just meet me in the middle. I'm losing my mind just a little.
It's time now for Setting the Record Straight on KOHI with Melinda Bernard. You can call the show now at 503-397-1600 or toll free at 877-397-1632. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KOHI, staff, management, or sponsors. Now, here's Melinda.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday. Welcome to Setting the Record Straight. Carol and I have a great show planned for you this morning. But first, I wanted to remind everyone, if you have not signed up for the emergency management notification system here in Columbia County, please do so. They have been sending out the last few days notifications that it is going to be super hot, dry, and windy. They're talking about 35 to 40 mile an hour gusts. And thus, it has increased our fire danger. So please be watchful. Please don't throw cigarettes out of your moving car like I saw in St. Helens the other day. Please, please, please just be very, very careful of what, and be aware of your surroundings, because we are in a high fire danger currently. So our show today, Carol and I are going to be chatting about a constitutional amendment that we all are going to be able to vote for in November. And it is Measure 111. And Measure 111 would make quite a change to healthcare. And joining me this morning is Tom Sinsick. Tom is the president of healthcare for All Oregon. And Tom, welcome. I just want to thank you again for joining Carol and I this morning.
Well, I'm so glad to be here, this opportunity. Yeah, I would love to set the record straight about healthcare.
So let's talk about Measure 111. Why? Let's start first. What will it do? And why are you asking for an amendment to the Oregon Constitution to make this happen?
Well, what will it do? Let's start with where we're at. We're at a system that everybody, all the listeners out there, pretty much used to be like, how do you tell people about the problems of the healthcare system? Now you don't need to tell people about the problems. Everybody across the board is aware of the problems. The delays of care, the poor outcomes, the rising costs, lack of choice of providers, we're not free of debt, medical debt, leading cause of bankruptcy. So what we hope this will do is change the facts of the present, which are so terrible in our healthcare system, to a different set of facts in the future. One where we have the freedom to choose providers, freedom of medical debt, freedom to get better outcomes from our healthcare system. So that's what we hope this measure will do. It'll set a pace forward to change the facts of the present to a much improved facts around our healthcare for the future.
Okay. So according to Ballotpedia, Measure 111 would establish a right to cost-effective, clinically appropriate, and affordable health care, and that the amendment would require the state to balance the obligation of ensuring a right to health care against funding public schools and other public services. The amendment also states that legal remedies for lawsuits brought against the proposed section may not interfere with the balance between a right to health care and funding other public services. So, wow. So basically, is that correct? First of all, is that accurate?
That's right. That is the way the measure reads. So we could kind of cover the ground on the different portions. What we do know is that right now, there is inequities in a healthcare system, and everything is not transparent, so it's also not clinically appropriate. We know that the cost and the affordability is not there, so we want to create an affordable system, truly affordable, not one that we just use language that says it's affordable in the pie in the sky world, but one from the viewpoint of the patients when, as things go forward, when people are thinking about getting the health care they need, they don't have to think like they do now, what is this going to exactly cost me? Should I go and get the care I need when I need it? So that's kind of that affordability and a clinical appropriate portion of that thing. The issue that you hear about the balance, what we do know is that we're paying too much in this state and this country for healthcare with poor outcomes. There is plenty of evidence that there's plenty of money available in the system to provide care we need now. So there probably is not going to be any need to do that balancing act of against education and other public services.
Okay, can I stop you right there?
Yes.
Can you please define what you mean that there's plenty of money in the system? What are you talking about specifically?
Okay. Well, we know that in various places, right? We have a lot of middlemen, both in the drug portion of providing care, the prescriptions and all that stuff. We've got lots of profit in the system. We've got high administrative burden that is basically, we have people on the phone telling people that they can't get care. That's a cost, an administrative cost that is there. The whole billing system is costly, and providers, including mental health providers, and we know the challenges of mental health in this state, are sometimes having to bill out 40 or 50 different insurers. So there is plenty of waste in the system now. And if we could just take the dollars that we have in the system now and provide it to providing care, we can do that. There was a study done by the RAND Corporation back in, I believe it was 2015, that showed for no more than we're spending now, we could have a system that covers everybody.
Okay. Are you talking federally? That was a federal study.
No, that was a state study. A study in Oregon. Okay. So, what we're trying to do with this measure is really just set the pace to say access to healthcare is a fundamental right. So it will really be up to the legislature to decide, like other rights, like voting or access to a fair trial. Those things, the details of those are not constitutionally defined. Those are worked out by legislative or administrative rules as to how you implement constitutional constitutional items. So that's the framework here. We're going to deliver a strong message that it's time that people do have a fundamental access to right, a fundamental right to access to healthcare, and with that, it's time for our legislature to do something to change the system.
Okay, and why did you choose to go for a constitutional amendment?
Well, I'll go back to a little bit of history on this, a little before my time, but somebody I'm connected to. Representative Mitch Greenlick, who worked, first of all, when he came from Michigan, where I am also from, Detroit, he came and started working for Kaiser, where he was looking at Kaiser as a delivery system, right? Then he went on to work up at OHSU, and he saw the faults of the system right along. And when he got into the legislature in 2005, he said, I'm going to try to put this into the Constitution. So starting in 2005 and in subsequent years, there has been this push to put it in into the Constitution. And when I saw it, and I can talk about my own experiences, I'm a retired family nurse practitioner, and can have seen firsthand the problems that I've alluded to already, and that those listeners are so aware of. In 2020, this was about to be voted on, but as you know, in 2020, the legislature did not finish, and so it didn't pass. So in 2021, it was reintroduced, and we at Healthcare for All Oregon were contacted and said, will you get and support and get behind this measure? And we said, yes. So it's the legislature that put this on the ballot. We did not put it on the ballot, but we are fully in support, along with a long list of organizations that are behind this measure. And that there is a website, righttohealthcareoregon.org, where people can see the wide variety of organizations from around every part of the state that are, and this list is growing. We're just
okay.
We're just early September.
Great, thank you. And I just want to note that Mitch Greenlick was the representative for the Linton area, and this was one of his long his passion before he eventually died. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Tom about how this would impact the Oregon Health Plan. So stay with us. This is Setting the Record Straight. We'll be right back.
Need towing? Call Grumpy's Towing, 24-hour emergency service, providing jump starts, winching and recovery for autos, trucks, to boats. And Grumpy's Towing is equipped to service large trucks to semi-trucks. Grumpy's Towing is here to give you prompt service, and they work with most insurance companies. When you need help, remember Grumpy's Towing. That's the name for 24-hour service. Call 503-543-5533. Grumpy's Towing, 503-543-5533. Hot, hot, hot. It's time to get comfortable with American Standard, the name you're already familiar with.
Hot, hot, hot.
Call Western Heating and Cooling today for your free in-home comfort analysis. Local inch campus next to leather shell. Call today, 503-543-5599.
Hot, hot. Oh,
it's easy. Remember, $55.99. Call today.
Did you know that here at Grocery Outlet, we feature over 150 terrific wines at sensational prices? Stop by our wine section and browse the Merlots, Pinot Grigios, and Chardonnays. It's time to discover something new. Grocery Outlet. Shop us first. Get more.
Grocery Outlet Bargain Market.
At Columbia River PUD, we work hard to keep your rates stable and affordable. Thanks in large part to low-cost, reliable hydropower, our residential rates are nearly 40% lower than the national average. Hydropower provides carbon-free electricity 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Here at Columbia River PUD, we're thankful for the Pacific Northwest's clean, reliable, affordable hydropower.
You just meet me in the middle. I'm losing my mind just a little.
It's Setting the Record Straight on KOHI with Melinda Bernard. Call the show now at 503-397-1600.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle?
And we're back. Carol and I are chatting this morning with the president of Healthcare for All Oregon, Tom Sinsett. And Tom is talking about Measure 111, which Healthcare for All Oregon is a proponent of. And Carol, I believe you had some questions for Tom.
Right. I just wanted to ask how you personally started in this. You said that you were a nurse practitioner and you knew the legislator who started this, but can you give us a little background?
Gladly. And well, before I do that, because I am the president of Healthcare for All Oregon, anybody mm-hmm. wants to find out about our organizations, we are a 501c3 not-for-profit education and advocacy trying to move the system where people can get the care they need when they need it. We can be found at hcao.org, or just Google Healthcare for All Oregon or hcao.org. Thank you so much. Okay, how I got started. Interesting journey. I won't start at the beginning, but I will start in, I was originally a math teacher and as a student teacher doing my little thing as a student teacher, I couldn't understand why kids had such problems learning. And now I know there are so much dynamics in children's lives. And there's so many things that can be barriers to learning. I got interested in the barriers. I found out about being a family nurse practitioner by chance. I was volunteering in Wisconsin at the University of Wisconsin Children's Hospital and a burn unit. And guess what? In that burn unit, I don't remember any discussion. I was tutoring kids because they couldn't go to school, right? But there was no discussion about how we're going to pay for these services. It was just, it just didn't happen. And then I eventually found a path to Yale University, where I became a master's in community health nursing and a family nurse practitioner. I was a part of the National Health Service Corps, and my first assignment was East Tennessee. And in that, serving the people in the hills of East Tennessee, the Appalachians there, there was never a discussion about any clinical services. How are we going to pay for it? People that chose to come to me would, I would send them to the providers that they needed to see. I would provide and the prescriptions that they needed, and there was never a question. Then I went to work for a tribe in Michigan for 3 years, and there was never a question in that area. People that wanted to see me saw me. People that wanted to go to see the doctor in town, because I was right there on the reservation land, could do that. There was never a question about whether people could choose their providers or what the cost was going to be. Then I came to Multnomah County, and I worked in the jail for 3 years, Multnomah County Jail. And guess what? I could just provide the services that people needed, the prescriptions that they needed, the referrals that they needed to get the care they needed while they were incarcerated. Well, I got a reality check. I got back to my original passion, which is working with kids, and went to work in a school-based health center. Now, we have a 15-year-old coming in, and we're asking, what is your insurance? We could provide services there for all the kids in the school, not a problem. But once they needed services that we couldn't provide, maybe a special eye doctor, an orthopedist for a fracture, or something like that, x-rays, now the questions came up. How is it going to pay for it? Who's got the payment? Who's got the insurance? Well, my dad covers the insurance, but I live with my mom, and I'm not sure if they're talking. And even if we got the insurance, it might not be the right kind of insurance. I might have an orthopedist ready to see a kid, but they're not on the panel, so they can't go to that one, or a mental health provider. And I would just say the biggest story that I tell over and over again with tear in my eye all the time is about a 16-year-old that came into the school, and we had a mental health therapist right there in the school. And the school counselor called the therapist, and because they had a different, a special insurance plan, they weren't Medicaid or uninsured, which would allow them to see our therapist, because money was being paid to these insurance companies. That kid was a suicidal, was sent off to see the provider on their panel, and never made it. That 16-year-old committed suicide. And so what a tragic story. They were fully insured, but they had the wrong kind of insurance, right? It wasn't the one that, as you know, we do not have the freedom under our current system to choose our own providers. The insurance companies often make the choice. So I was spending a lot of my time, and kind of at the end of my journey here, which is probably a third of my time dealing with insurance companies and prior authorizations, and helping people navigate the system. What a waste of time for me as a provider. My time, the same money that was being spent to pay me, could have been spent to providing care instead of battling the insurance world and the prior authorization world.
Thank you for highlighting that. There's a couple, first off, before we get into that issue specifically about healthcare workers spending their time fighting with insurance companies and quote unquote peer review, I want to touch on something. Does this constitutional amendment, if it is measure 111 is passed, will it cover mental health care?
Basically, when we talk about healthcare, we mean all portions of that health. We mean vision, hearing, dental, mental health, right? The constitutional amendment does not say what that is. But when we say access to health care, we know that our health is composed of much more than a clinic visit with a medical doctor, mm-hmm. right? So how that will be manifested once this gets forward, this is where the advocacy will be important to make sure the laws that are written following this measure are the ones that make sure that people can get the care they need when they need it without worry about medical debt.
Okay. So can you tell me, and after I'm finished with this, Carol has another question for you. Can you just roughly give me a percentage? What percentage of your day as a family nurse practitioner did you spend with insurance companies or, and I don't know if you had did this, but now the latest, I follow a lot of doctors on Twitter and they are continually, constantly complaining about quote unquote peer-to-peer reviews where they have to submit their patient needs a particular drug and they have to, or treatment, and they have to go to the insurance company and supposedly there's a peer on the other end of the line, but a peer is not a physician often. It's just somebody that they put in position to say no, to be a gatekeeper. So how much, like what percentage would you say your job was spent dealing with that kind of nonsense?
Okay, this is a rough estimate, about one third of my time.
Okay,
all right. And I've heard that subsequently in recent times from somebody else where they said that. One of the things that was done recently in Portland was a presentation by a cardiologist here who had their team track how they were spending their time. And they were, and when, and it was tracked out through the day. And they found out, okay, well, guess what? They've left for the day, but now they're going into the evening charting and writing these records. And what we know about charting is it's meant for billing purposes. You chart to create a payment system. Now, I was lucky, I, being who I was, I avoided charting to meet the payment thing. I wrote down what I wanted to write down to meet the needs of the patient. If it was a billable thing, fine. If it wasn't, no, people would come back to me and say, can you just change this coding a little bit? And that's what happens, mm-hmm. right? And something called upcoding and all that. I would say, no, I'm not changing. I wrote what I wrote and that's it. And so that's also part of the bureaucracy, right? People coming back to providers and the whole need to document just to create a bill.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Carol, what was your question?
I wanted to just make a comment because based on what you're saying, we had a person, Nicholas Kristof, who was running for governor here for a short time. And one of the things he said in his initial speeches was that Oregon as a state was second to last and last in treatment of mental health and drug and alcohol. And so if we are at that point, what is the reason? And I think some of what you're saying is part of it. I mean, we're not providing the services we need when we need. So I just wanted to make that comment. Thank you for that input that you had.
Well, I met a bartender who was a former psychologist. He didn't, you know, why is he a former psychologist? He didn't want to deal with the insurers. The people didn't just have a right to see him and get the care they needed from that person. And they, so the people are in such a complex system. The family docs are cutting their hours. If you try to get a primary care doctor, well, you might not be able to see them because they've gone to half time, right? And so you'll see somebody else. And I've heard a story of a teenager recently having to change mental health providers three times because, so that's a burden, that's quite a burden on a teenager to go and start over with three different therapists. And this is all driven by a system that's just too complex and is not dictated by a right to the access to, the, to care and the freedom for a provider of choice.
Thank you. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Carol and I are going to talk with Tom about if Measure 111 passes, then what? Who is going to advocate for these changes and what that means for the legislature, the upcoming legislature? So stay with us. This is Setting the Record Straight. We'll be right back.
Need towing? Call Grumpy's Towing, 24-hour emergency service, providing jump starts, winching and recovery for autos, trucks, to boats. And Grumpy's Towing is equipped to service large trucks to semi-trucks. Grumpy's Towing is here to give you prompt service, and they work with most insurance companies. When you need help, remember, Grumpy's Towing, that's the name for 24-hour service. Call 503-543-5533. Grumpy's Towing, 503-543-5533. Hot, hot, hot. It's time to get comfortable with American Standard, the name you're already familiar with.
Hot, hot, hot.
Call Western Heating and Cooling today for your free in-home comfort analysis. Local inch campoose next to leather shell. Call today, 503-543-5599. It's easy. Remember, $55.99. Call today.
Did you know that here at Grocery Outlet, we feature over 150 terrific wines at sensational prices? Stop by our wine section and browse the Merlots, Pinot Grigios, and Chardonnays. It's time to discover something new. Grocery Outlet. Shop us first. Get more.
Grocery Outlet. Bargain Market.
At Columbia River PUD, we work hard to keep your rates stable and affordable. Thanks in large part to low-cost, reliable hydropower, our residential rates are nearly 40% lower than the national average. Hydropower provides carbon-free electricity 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Here at Columbia River PUD, we're thankful for the Pacific Northwest's clean, reliable, affordable hydropower.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little.
It's Setting the Record Straight on KOHI with Melinda Bernard. Call the show now at 503-397-1600.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle?
And we're back. Carol and I are continuing our conversation this morning with Tom Sinsick. Tom is the president of Healthcare for All Oregon. And Healthcare for All Oregon is the proponent of Measure 111, which would create a constitutional amendment that would allow, or what is the word I'm looking for? It would provide that healthcare is a right for all Oregonians. So, to continue our conversation, my question for you, let's say Measure 111 passes, and now it's up to the legislature to define all of these details that we're talking about. And that means some advocacy for just not your group, but for other groups that have invested interests like insurance companies. So how momentous is that going to be?
Well, I am here and I am president of Healthcare for Oregon. Like I said earlier on, there is a large group of organizations. I think it's 38 now that are behind this, and it's from across the state. And I encourage people, but Oregon Nurses Association, Oregon Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals, the Oregon Academy of Family Physicians, the Physicians Assistance Group, the I don't have my list in front of me, Planned Parenthood, UValkyrie, which is out in Ontario, and Hermiston operating. So we have, there's groups from Southern Oregon, Rogue Valley Action down from Southern Oregon, I think it's called, the unions, SCIU, AFL-CIO, AFSCME. There is a large number of organizations behind this. So all interested in the idea that we need better health outcomes. We need to improve the lives of individuals, families, and communities in the state. And with that, health and access to healthcare is a key component.
Okay.
So, with that, we're going to take this advocacy work and bring that forward into the legislature. Now, for those, as a 501c3, we do not advocate for any particular legislators, but a number of them are running on this issue. And I will say that in the last election, a couple of cycles ago, there was a one person going door to door saying healthcare for all, you know, is a right, and another person not talking too much about healthcare, and that incumbent lost their election. So this is
wait. Was the incumbent the one who didn't talk about healthcare?
Right, the incumbent it was the one that didn't talk about healthcare at the doors. So it basically it switched parties. So the important, I guess I could say that this is I don't know, Rachel Prusak has been in the legislature, is not running again, so I can talk about Rachel, I guess.
Sure.
Also a nurse practitioner, and so there's, you know, that, and so there more and more legislators are running on this issue this time around. And if I encourage people to talk to the candidates that are out there, understand their positions on this, and tell them your opinions about this issue and the other issues that you care about, because in order to move this forward through the legislature in the next round, advocacy will be essential. Why? Because we know that there will, although there is no opposition, formal opposition to this right now, there is no guarantee that when we start moving specifics through the legislature, that opposition is not going to show up. So
exactly. Absolutely.
So we're going to need the voices of community going forward. Everybody's voice matters. Every vote matters. So voting matters right now. But don't wait till after the election to talk to these candidates and these legislators, because after the election, sometimes they get busier. Now is a prime time to reach out to those people in your area and that are running for particularly the state legislature, and track, and whose governor mm-hmm. is going to matter as well.
Right. Let's talk about for just a minute about how the Oregon Health Plan it'll change if this passes. So do you foresee the Oregon Health Plan, it passes, and the folks who are on the Oregon Health Plan, will they be part of this overall new program then, or how is that going to work?
I'm going to frame this. It's going to be up to the legislature to cast the final vote. Our goal will be to structure some legislature, and this goes back into it's not just the Oregon Health Plan. There's a lot of people that are on systems that are connected to government. And we have a number of cities, county school boards that have passed resolutions in support of changing the system. And those can be found at our website, hco.org.
Right.
So there is already how the system as a whole will work will depend on the legislation that's created. But the idea is people are going to have the right to access health care.
Regardless if they are working or where they work, correct?
Well, yeah.
Is that what this is? Okay.
It doesn't say at the end, with an exception of where you work
right.
and how you work. And
right.
we know that within the Oregon Health Plan, sometimes if you make $1 an hour more, then you get booted off, and then you have to go to the exchange, or then you become uninsured. Or so there's a place where there's a lot of administrative waste and cost in a system of putting people on and off a healthcare system. Even when you're employed, you go on, you might have a 30-day or 60-day waiting period,
right.
or you get laid off. Now you have to go to an unaffordable COBRA system, or you change employers. And guess what? Under the new employer, you have a different set of providers. So that is all the complexity and time consuming. Our own individual time fighting these battles is not even counted into the cost of this system.
Absolutely.
Right.
And I just want to point out that in Texas, there is a particular orthodontist who has decided that his employees shouldn't have certain kinds of coverage. He doesn't want to pay for insurance that covers PrEP, which is a medication used, it's widely used in the homosexual community to prevent AIDS, but it's not just for that community. Other communities use it. And often I think of Hobby Lobby, didn't want to pay for contraception, didn't want to pay for reproductive health. So if we have one system in the state of Oregon, and it's understood that regardless of what your healthcare need is, you may have access to it, it's a game changer for people.
It'll be a game changer for the state and the outcomes that we, again, like I said at the very beginning, our goal is to set a tone that says the facts of the present, we must not let around our healthcare system, must not be the facts of the future. We must get it right. And so that's what this measure is about. And then making sure that the legislation to implement our right. And we're still fighting for issues around this country, a little different right now, but it's never done, about voting rights, right? Access to housing, access to the right to sleep, you know, whatever it might be. A constitutional amendment sets a direction and a value for the state. And that's what this phase is of getting this thing passed.
So how are we going to pay for it? That's the number one question that I imagine, one of the number one questions you hear, questions.
Okay.
How do we pay for it?
Okay. So when we talk about earlier, I talked about this RAND study that said there's already enough money in the system, and they didn't even look at all the places where money could be found that had been spent in the system.
Such as certain
out-of-pocket expenses, prevention, if we have preventive services, what will that mean in reducing costs down the line? They didn't even look at all the data where providers, you know, there are provider offices that spend $1 million just to deal with the insurers and all that stuff. So there's already enough money in the system to cover everybody. So when we say the question is how are we going to pay for it, how is the money going to be potentially redirected? This doesn't define that. This is a constitutional change. But really what we mean is we know we're paying too much. What we can't say, we say, how are we going to afford this? We can't afford not to do this. We can't afford the future trajectory of the increasing costs of healthcare. The system has to, especially when your outcomes continue to be as terrible as Carol talked about. So we have an opportunity to look at where's all the money being spent and how could it be better redirected to meet the what the constitutional amendment says, right? People have a right to access to healthcare. Mm-hmm. So it people just have to look and say, how am I delaying care now? What are my co-pays now? What are my deductibles now? What are my other premiums? What's coming out of my employer paycheck? What is state government already collecting? Cities and counties are governmental bodies with employees, and they know the burden of the cost of the rising costs. We can't afford not to do this. We can't afford not to change the system.
All right. Well, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how Tom thinks that this constitutional amendment may affect the physician and nursing and other healthcare shortages here in the state and in the country. So stay with us. This is Setting the Record Straight. We'll be right back.
Need towing? Call Grumpy's Towing, 24-hour emergency service, providing jump starts, winching and recovery for autos, trucks, to boats. And Grumpy's Towing is equipped to service large trucks to semi-trucks. Grumpy's Towing is here to give you prompt service, and they work with most insurance companies. When you need help, remember, Grumpy's Towing, that's the name for 24-hour service. Call 503-543-5533. Grumpy's Towing, 503-543-5533. Hot, hot, hot. It's time to get comfortable with American Standard, the name you're already familiar with. Call Western Heating and Cooling today for your free in-home comfort analysis. Local in Scampoose next to Leather Shell. Call today, 503-543-5599. It's easy. Remember, $55.99. Call today.
Did you know that here at Grocery Outlet, we feature over 150 terrific wines at sensational prices? Stop by our wine section and browse the Merlots, Pinot Grigios, and Chardonnays. It's time to discover something new. Grocery Outlet. Shop us first. Get more.
Grocery Outlet Bargain Market.
At Columbia River PUD, we work hard to keep your rates stable and affordable. Thanks in large part to low-cost, reliable hydropower, our residential rates are nearly 40% lower than the national average. Hydropower provides carbon-free electricity 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Here at Columbia River PUD, we're thankful for the Pacific Northwest's clean, reliable, affordable hydropower.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little.
It's Setting the Record Straight on KOHI with Melinda Bernard. Call the show now at 503-397-1600.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle?
I'm and we're back. Carol and I are wrapping up our conversation this morning with Tom Hintzig. Tom is the president of Healthcare for All Oregon. And Tom, if this measure is passed, what do you anticipate is going to happen regarding the shortage, current shortage of physicians, nurses, and other healthcare providers?
When this measure is passed, let's talk about one of the reasons there's a shortage. Physicians are cutting down to halftime. They cannot stand the burden of this current system. Nurses are, instead of providing care, are trying to have people navigate the system. In particular, I was familiar with somebody that's assigned to an oncology group of providers, a nurse, who instead of having, cannot focus on just having people navigate the care they need. They're having to deal with all the other elements. This is very frustrating and not rewarding in the sense of the work. As I said for myself, I would say I stopped my clinical practice early to do this work, which is, I'm in my sixth year now of this, more directly as president of Healthcare for All Oregon. Why? Because I didn't want to, I knew the system needed changing. And so, and if I was in a system where I could have seen 1/3 more patients a day and spent my time, right? So that would have been way more of a satisfying day. I wouldn't have thought about, oh, I've got to get out there and change the system. Sure. I would just continue to provide clinical care. And so mental health providers, and again mentioned out, the complexities and the burdens of this current system are too much for them. So the idea that, first of all, people that are already working will want to more stay working and be able to see more people in the same time frame that they're using now once we get this transformative system in place. But how that's going to look is going to take, again, this is a phase that's going to give a message to the legislature that says it's time to do this so people get access to the care, and one of it will be the workforce. But we know that the workforce currently is tired of the system as it is.
Sure. And 20 minutes to see a patient, and that is become a reality, is that they don't have enough time to spend with patients because of pressure dealing with insurance companies, or Or maybe they're an HMO and the HMO says, well, to be financially successful, you need to see so many patients. And that's just not realistic. You know, and do you anticipate that this being addressed if it's passed? 20 minutes is not long for a family
In the systems where I worked before as a family nurse practitioner, I had flexibility when it wasn't dictated, my services were not dictated by a wider system. Mm-hmm. As I experienced in the school-based clinic. Now again, we do know about people dropping out of the healthcare providers dropping out of the healthcare world because of this system. So that's going to be the place that's going to be, I think, the great starting place. And in addition, this should attract people to come into the field instead of, I did a presentation recently up at the OHSU to some medical students, second year mostly, and then also to somebody, let's start with that. And they're already learning about the burdens of this current system, right? They didn't sign up to go to medical school, but by year two, they're starting to learn that, oh, I have to deal with that when I'm providing, just when I'm here to provide healthcare. Mm-hmm. So this is going to, with the transformation, this is going to be a game changer for those providing care and an attraction so people can continue to do why they got into the field in the first place, whether it be mental health, psychology, physical therapy, whatever it is.
Sure. Well, let's talk about drug costs, because that is a huge problem across the country and here in Oregon. And oftentimes, and drug costs and pharmacies. There are pharmacies who refuse to provide some drugs to some patients, and other pharmacies will provide the same drug for lesser money. I mean, there's such a difference and a widespread, the system obviously is broken. So what do you think? Do you think that if this passes, that the legislature can somehow get a control on these out of control costs?
So when you talk about, one of the things we haven't mentioned is the amount of money spent on advertising. Both for the, you know, to get people into a certain kind of healthcare system, and then certain prescriptions, right? And what we do know is the legislature has already created a drug affordability prescription board that is just getting launched. There's work being done in other states around the same. The same thing. So collaborating with other states like Washington and California is the easy, you know, tie-ins. They've started a pathway. And I think, going back to kind of the beginning of this whole thing and a little history in the legislature, there was a bill in Mitch's last term, second last term, I think, I guess it was, that was coming forward, and there were pharmacy lobbyists in front of the healthcare committee, of which Mitch was the chair. And he pushed back so boldly against those pharmacy lobbyists in that thing. But of course, he wasn't being nice enough to them. And I'm so proud of Mitch not being nice enough to those people that were trying to keep pharmacy prices. Basically the bill had to do with, I think, how many days notice before a drug was being pulled off, or there was going to be a price change or something along those lines, right? Because people could get caught off guard in terms of the pricing of their meds, or this is no longer a covered drug. And it actually cost Mitch's boldness, and we have to be bold at this time. That's what's required, bold action. cost him his committee chair position. Because somebody,
I remember that incident.
Somebody else on the committee, you know, sort of chastised Mitch for not being nice enough to the lobbyist testifiers. And it was a sad day, but a very good message about how you have to be courageous and bold in this work and persist, not let up, have hope at every step of the way. We know that people want this transformation. And so this constitutional amendment is an important phase of this work.
Okay. And Oregon, correct me if I'm wrong, would be the first state in the entire country, if this passes, to take this step. Is that right?
The step at this level is correct. And you mentioned Ballotpedia earlier. There are some other states that there's some mention of what they've done and how they mention healthcare, but this is clearly the boldest and most important step. And like other things, Oregon leading the way, like we have in so many other areas, people are watching Oregon and this outcome. So I encourage everybody out there to get involved. Check us out at hco.org or the right to healthcareoregon.org. And find a pathway, because everybody's voice is needed in this movement.
Okay. Carol, did you have any questions?
No, I'm just sitting here speechless, because we need to do it. It's so important, and I hope that we can pass it and get going. I mean, I look at the pharmacy stuff. I have a grandchild who has one medication. It's $1,500 a month. And so when she comes off for parents' insurance, who's going to pay for that? And I just see how politics has entered into so much of this. And look at who we have as Secretary of, you know, anyway. I think we need to do it, and I'm behind it. So thank you very much for taking the effort. I appreciate
it. This is an across-the-board issue. This is not a partisan issue. This is an issue that is affecting everybody's lives, particularly as you talked about. Well, I don't want to say particularly, because that's judgmental. But we know the impact on rural communities. The rural hospitals struggle because of the system we have. And so access, the current system is decreasing access to care. And we need to change that.
Right. Well, thank you again for taking an entire hour to talk with us about this measure. And as you've heard Tom say, you can go to his website if you have any more information. And Carol and I are going to be back next week with a special show. Starting next week, we will be combining our show with Odd Friday. So tune in from 9 to 11 next Friday. We're going to be talking to the candidates for the St. Helens City Council. So have a great week, and we'll see you back here 9 a.m. next week. That's
Thank
it for
you
us.
For having me.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little.
You've been listening to Setting the Record Straight with Melinda Bernard on KOHI. Listen again next Friday here on AM 1600. You can email the show, kohi.radio@gmail.com, or email Melinda, strsradio@gmail.com. Oh, take a step.